Hello, and welcome to Whispers of Lunabelle Island. This is a horror show and may include subject matter that some listeners might find disturbing, including depictions of helplessness, drug use, and violence. If that all sounds good, then please join us. Because if these things don't scare you, then we might just discover something that does.
You've never been to Goodwill Sexy Night?
I'm just wondering what a dumpster of used underwear, of used sexy underwear, smells like.
Well, guess what? There's one place you can find out.
No, why would you even wonder? Yeah, go to.
Yeah, it's an 18 plus event, like 5 to 7.
I have to go. That's their marketing is working.
It's gonna be me, Zane, and Ayla going there hammered.
See, Wes, your mom leaves for a year, and look at where. Look
yeah,
at
look
the
what happened.
Heathens.
I just thought that was really fucking funny. And Talia said she might be checking IDs that night. And I was like, oh, so you're at the spicy security. That's really fucking funny to me. And I don't know. It's
hilarious.
Just it's so funny. I don't know. I have to know what's going on there now. My day for like 2 days in a row.
Don't
so
do it.
Tell you.
I'm going to show up in a trench coat and like a hat with a fake mustache. Yeah. Nobody recognizes me.
It is 8 o'clock. We should really
I'm sorry. I really wanted to tell you that since like the beginning of the last episode. So. Anyway.
Okay. So the fog and the rain has settled over the grounds of the estate. Dr. Greenwood, you're pacing a ways off from the mansion down the massive driveway that's been overgrown with various shrubberies. Something catches your eye and you're pondering it, and you've seen these before, these strange blue-capped mushrooms sprouting up around the island. In the flooded cabin was, I think, the first time that any of you guys saw one of these things. It's got light striations, the crimson red at the bottom. It looks pale and muted in the obscured afternoon overcast. And as you're contemplating this strange mushroom, Ronnie and Maya, you're walking down the driveway towards Dr. Greenwood. What are you guys doing?
I mean, we're still in a dangerous situation, so Ronnie's looking around while she's walking towards Freddy.
Ronnie, give me an alertness.
Based on the last time Maya saw Freddy just, you know, performing aid and being level-headed, she believes that, you know, he probably is still. But is, you know, counting on the fact that that might not be, but we're not counting on it, but, like, expecting that maybe that could be different, but she kind of thinks that he's probably kind of, he's back, you know.
You do get the impression with your psychotherapy abilities that he is through the worst of it, and he's just kind of recovering from it at this point.
Yeah.
And you see him, you know, as you're closing the distance, he is despondent, maybe a little distracted, staring at something that's down at his feet. Ronnie.
Ronnie is going through the motions, but focused more on what she might say to Freddy because she rolled a 97.
Okay. And I think that's just part of it too. And I think that's how I would interpret that as well, is that in the wake of what's happened over the past, I mean, maybe 30 minutes, I think your thoughts are just more directed. Okay, so you guys are approaching.
Yeah, and I think
you probably see the same thing that Dr. Greenwood sees too. It's just this strange little innocuous mushroom sprouting out of the ground, seemingly embracing the rain.
Does Maya have a pretty good read on the situation, like, or would it be worth kind of taking it all in at once here?
What do you mean exactly?
Like taking a better read now that I'm closer, like figuring out exactly where he's at, what he's doing.
I think he's just he's just mulling it over. I mean, this is the this is somebody who's trying to process something.
Okay, I just want to make sure I've gathered what I could, or, you know, should have gathered approaching. I don't want to, like, miss that opportunity if I should be doing that now. I mean, not, you know.
I mean, I think he's just, whether or not he's doing it intentionally or not, I think Dr. Greenwood just kind of has his blinders up. He's got his walls set.
I think that Maya would kind of announce her presence from a good distance just to make sure that she doesn't surprise him. It's not a surprise. She does not want to, like, surprise him with anything. It's like, we're here to help.
Right. And Dr. Greenwood, I think you hear them.
Yeah, Ronnie's probably walking pretty heavy.
I mean, Maya might even just be like, hey, Freddy.
He probably would remain silent as you guys approach.
At least I know I vocalized so that you could, like, hear me and hear us approaching and know we were here.
I think Ronnie kind of stops a little bit away and pauses and just kind of looks at you. And then, assuming no one's doing anything in that pause.
I mean, he's probably still just staring at this mushroom.
Maya would, like, definitely allow their space to be this, like, pause, because that can be, like, a good thing. But if it, like, went on for a really long time, she would probably say something.
I think that you get the sense that she's just kind of trying to, like, think of, like, what do I do? What do I say? And, like, before she takes that next step. And then she'll walk up to Freddy and just kind of put her arm around his shoulder and just kind of hold him for a moment. And then she's
when you do it.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Okay. When you do that, he'll just go, I'm sorry.
You got nothing to be sorry for, Freddy. You're always there for me.
I almost killed you.
Yeah, but look where we are. We got to get out of this place. It's my turn to be here for you.
He'll lean into your one-armed hug and he'll say, you always are. You've helped me more than you can know.
I don't know. Sometimes I think I need you more than you need me.
Well, we've got each other. I didn't end up killing you, thank God. I'm just so glad that I didn't kill you. Christ.
Don't go down that road. You wouldn't have done it. It was an accident. You're under too much stress. I mean, we all are.
I don't want to think about it. Well, yeah, we are. But I don't want to think about that. What needs to happen is we need to go get Dylan, and we need to get the hell out of here. We need to get a cure. We got to do it. We got to fight this thing.
I agree. The first step to getting you help, to get helping everyone, is to finishing what we're doing. We got to go.
I don't need help with this. I need to help you with this. I'm not going to let this thing kill you.
We got each other. And she's going to give him a hug.
I'll hug you back and I'll say, until the end, no matter what that is. He'll,
after Maya the hug. Is like, yeah, till the end, and kind of like.
No, she's like watching, just like, yeah.
He's like, I did that.
Yeah.
She's like, now kiss. Ugh.
No. Yeah.
but not like that.
Not going to kiss my brother. He,
no.
Hmm.
No.
No, instead of like, now kiss, it's like, now heal.
Yeah. Now kiss him with your fist.
Friend kiss. Brother kiss. With tongue.
And I think Dr. Greenwood's going to pull a rubber glove out of his pocket and actually put it on and pick the mushroom that he has been staring at.
Maya, you specifically recognize this mushroom to be very similar, if not identical, to the one that you saw in Cabin 5, which is the flooded cabin.
There's something weird with these mushrooms. It's the same one that was in Cabin 5.
I have a suspicion that it's purposely.
I didn't catch that. Purposefully?
Oh. Sorry, I might. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yes.
No.
No. Yes. No. You're just going to have to deal with the mouth noises. Sorry.
That's fine.
I have a suspicion that it's purposely there. I think if our agents didn't put it there, it's growing there for some reason. I want to take this one and see what I can make of it. And you can tell when he picks it, his hands are, I wouldn't say violently shaking, but they're notably shaking. They are definitely notably shaky. And as he stands up, he'll look at both of you, and his eyes are bloodshot, and his face is a little less tear-stained now because the rain has washed a lot of that away. And he'll go, I don't know what happened. It's like I blacked out for a minute. And I woke up after I shot you.
Maya, if you want to say something, Ronnie, go ahead, but and then I'll find my moment, but because he was talking to you, so.
I was talking to both of you, generally.
Yeah, you can jump
yeah,
in.
Yeah, but I feel like it'd be more powerful if Ronnie had a response, but if you don't, then I'll go ahead.
I think Ronnie is just going to be like you said, we don't need to dwell on that right now. I'm okay, and she's going to jump a little bit. You healed me up good, Doctor.
No. You should be not like this.
As far as I am concerned, the only way is through. Since we're on a timeline. We have to get through this. And yeah. I know you won't believe me right now. And I hope that someday that you will, but this was not your fault. And I hope that there'll be a day that you believe that, and I believe there will be. But maybe even that just helps a little bit.
Thanks. We should get back to the house.
Yeah, on that note, on the notion of time being so fleeting, Dr. Green, what do you check your watch? It's about 3:30 in the afternoon. You have approximately 66 hours left until this place disappears from the face of the map.
After I look at my watch, kind of straighten up a little bit and go, we need to get Dylan now. He is the key or a cure, which all of us, I believe, desperately need. Let's facilitate that. Make a plan. While Dan figures out that room with Scorpion. I assume that's what they're doing.
Right about that moment, you probably... I'm going to take a little creative liberty here, Zane.
Sure.
Right about that moment, you hear... Bam, bam, bam. Three gunshots in rapid succession from inside the house.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
About what you assume to be the study...
It's Cougar.
I would pan back to the. I would draw my service pistol and start sprinting.
We're gonna pan back to the inside, and this is
what is happening.
I think this will be a fun way to do it. This scene is starting about the time that the other three left the house. Scorpion, you're contemplating this mask that you've been handed. The gas mask.
What is
this? Confused. Is this a furry thing? Looks like a furry thing.
She took this off her face. What are you thinking?
Is it like
it's a face hugger. Shoot it.
It's a bong. No, it's a bong. You put the weed in these holes and you light them.
Oh, I've never done that.
You're about to.
And that does draw your mind back to your mask, Dan, which obviously had some kind of breach in the seal.
Yeah. before I even
put the mask on, by the way, just real quick.
Sure.
Yeah, I think before I even look at the mask, I'm gonna be like, alright. You good to go, Scorp?
Yep, ready. I don't know if that's gonna be good for audio, actually.
I thought it was really cool.
Okay. Maybe
yeah, I'm ready.
I'm not gonna make you do that every time you talk though. So
yeah, I'm ready. Oh, that's
perfect.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
There you go. Nice.
Ready, soldier boy.
Alright. Should be pretty clear up there. Mask won't hurt though. I'm gonna sprint to the top of the stairs and take a look down the hallway toward the study. See how the
Scorp,
air
you is following him?
Yeah, I'm following him.
Okay. Yeah, Dan, is your light? Excuse me.
Wow.
What the fuck, man?
As your light comes up, illuminating the interior of the room with the far end of the hall, you do notice, since the window's been opened, that it looks like it has cleared out substantially.
All right. Looking at my mask with it off and my eyes sort of starting to clear up, is there an obvious crack that I can, like, spit in to seal it for just immediate
Yes,
purposes?
Looking... Taking a moment and looking around the seal of this mask, you do notice that there is one small part where it looks like the rubber has kind of cracked just enough to let in a problematic amount of spores or whatever else you don't want to be breathing. But I'm assuming you probably have some electrical tape or some, like, duct tape in your bag. You're able to mend it if you take a few moments and get it to a point where you feel like it's functional enough to get the job done.
Okay. I was highly considering just literally spitting in it and then, like, packing it with dust. But if I have some tape, I'll take some liberties, you'd say
you have a small roll of duct tape or something.
The next 20 use. Minutes is Dan firing his gun 3 times while we spit in the crack.
Right.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and slap some duct tape on it.
I can't spit through this mask. I don't know how to help you.
I can't smoke through it either. I'm going to need a drill.
Dan's going to go ahead. Yeah, Scorp's not seeing any hesitation, but he's going to go about halfway down the hallway and turn, kind of pause for a second and look at you. Hey, Scorp, you're a...
Sorry. Scorp, you're a good...
I was going to ask, why do you not sound the same as I do? I find, Dan, if you make a hole when you cup it, so you allow the words to escape, but it's just kind of...
Yeah, like how a mask doesn't do it. Okay.
you think darkness was your ally?
God damn it.
Scorp, I want you to do me a favor if you can. For the rest of the time we're out here, at least.
All right.
You're a good six, man. You're a really good six. But I want you and only you being my number two, my slack man, while I'm on point from now on. You all right with that?
I got you, buddy. Don't worry about it.
All right.
You be the eyes, I be the gun. And Hell then you yeah. also be the gun.
We'll both be guns and eyes and teeth and...
Well, the point is I can't be eyes. I've got a 20 alertness.
The mask is not helping either.
And it's really foggy up in here.
And yeah, Dan's gonna go ahead and move on down the hallway and position himself in front of the door, kind of point his rifle at it, look at Scorp, give him like an eyebrow raise, like, you might want to grab some cover.
Which door?
The door at the back of the study that we're trying to penetrate to see if it goes into the caves or not.
Well,
that fucking door that's been looking at me for
three episodes.
Right. Well, and I correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I ever described exactly what specifics of the interior of this room looked like, because you guys were turning and burning, running in there quick to get the deputy out, and then the last time you came in there, things went south pretty quick because you started choking on spores. So
they did. I remember taking cover in the room behind some debris at some point, and that's mostly it.
Right. So I think that you guys haven't necessarily had the best opportunity to actually get a good visual assessment of this room so far. So as you guys enter and your lights dance across the walls and kind of illuminate the inside of this massive study, let me give you a little more detail. right after I find it on my notes.
Interesting.
So you see that same huge oil painting of Elias and seemingly his younger son, James, with that same Latin inscription below it that I don't know if either one of you speak Latin, but you probably can't quite make it out.
Speak Spanish.
The inside of this study looks like it's been tossed recently, and you're assuming that that's probably from the Delta Green recon team that was here before you. Layers of dust have kind of been disturbed, and there's documents scattered around the desk. It looks like they pulled things off of bookshelves, opened up books, and were clearly looking for whatever information they could find on what was going on here. There are, so as you're walking in and looking around, there's a large desk at the other end of the room next to the window that Ronnie opened. And there are several other windows in this room, too. Oh, man. Sorry, it's beer.
Thank you for listening to the Real World Gaming Podcast.
That's all, folks.
An audio experience of the topmost quality.
So these large, narrow windows, almost 10 feet tall in height, large, heavy oak shutters, kind of match the door. Just, you can tell that the construction of this room was definitely built to last, and it shows. Other than that, you see... Scorp, why don't you give me... Or sorry, Dan, why don't you give me... Actually, what are you guys looking for? You're looking for that door, correct?
That is the only thing in the world that Dan cares about in this exact scenario, yes.
Okay. Go ahead and... Are you assisting Scorpion, or what are you doing?
I don't know what you're about to say. Search for it? Are we doing a search?
Yeah. Is that what you're helping him with?
I'm just kind of on him. He's leading the way. I'm just keeping an eye out for danger.
Okay.
If that's alertness, Dan, so be it.
Dan, give me a search.
All right. That's going to be a 52 under 60.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So you've been hearing a lot about this supposed door in this study, but you quickly surmise the only door you can see is the one leading in and out of this that you just entered through. But what you do see after a few moments of looking around and kind of just like painting a picture of how you feel like those Delta Green agents or whoever was in here before you were parsing through all of the contents of this room, you see a crowbar lying along the wall next to one of the large floor-to-ceiling bookshelves. And it looks like there's this seam that wouldn't maybe be that obvious if you weren't looking for it, and also if not for the gash marks that are splayed up and down where they clearly had been trying to pry this thing open. Not so much of a door, more of a secret panel in the wall that looks to be incredibly sturdy and unmoving.
Does it appear to be made of metal?
Say you approach, peel back some of the, at this point, ancient wallpaper and paneling, grabbing a big handful of this wood and plaster and ripping it back, and you do see that there is a large metal door concealed behind this facade.
Okay. And when you say metal door, are we talking like is this motherfucker a vault door, or is it like a steel door like you'd see in a school?
From the little amount that you can see, it's tough to tell. It seems very solid though, and you can spend some time, maybe with Scorpion's help, clearing off the rest of the facade that's concealing this thing.
What the hell is that thing?
Man, I don't know. We got too much shit in my way. Amateurs use a fucking crowbar and didn't even... Alright, will you start peeling back some of this paper and drywall and shit?
Yeah, I'll help you peel it back. Watch my back. I might be able to get our way through that door, too. Do you want, like, a strength times 5?
What are you trying to do exactly?
Hold on. Both my...
You have history in construction, don't you?
Both my monitors Blickard. Just like they did last time.
Still recording?
Yeah, it's good. Everything's good. I'm still on Discord. Didn't lose anything. Still recording.
That's unnerving, but I think it adds to the spooky ambience. So that's, we'll just roll with it.
I feel like that's similar to what keeps happening with my computer.
Yeah, I think it's happening with Brian. We might have the same camera. Did you get yours on Amazon?
You bought me mine.
We probably have the same camera.
They have the same malware Bitcoin miner running in the background.
Okay. I mean, I have a craft locksmith.
Well, you have a background in construction too, right?
Oh, yeah. I
so you've demoed some fucking walls before.
Yeah, I could.
I think exposing a fucking steel door behind anything, if you have a crowbar, that's going to be... That's the two.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
you.
Just going to fucking knock this bookshelf over.
Yeah. What are you feeling for a roll?
I'd say strength times 5 is probably my best guess here. I guess you could kind of say demolitions in a sense, in a weird way.
Is that meant to be like explosives, though?
I would think so. It's more, meant to be geared in that direction. I'd say strength times 5 is fine. And this is one of those things where it's like, you're going to accomplish this task. Let's just see how fast you do it.
17 under 65. Ooh, let's go.
So, Scorpion, you thought you'd left this life behind. But every time you...
I'm so sorry to do this. Yes. But I need to share this with all of you. Okay. My niece, who is 7, I believe, got a limited cell phone. So she can text like the numbers that my sister puts in and... My sister can control it. I just got a text from my niece, and it says, "Uncle Tanner, why do you smell like cheese?"
Well, answer the question.
Yeah. What's the answer to that question?
You really? Are what you eat.
It really makes me think of the Charlie Day scene where, like, Max sets Charlie up with a date, or maybe it's Dennis.
Yeah, I was like, why?
And he's like,
it's like half
you know, sometimes you're nervous and you just start eating cheese, and he's like, no.
Nobody does that.
Reeks. Why do you do? He's like, and then you just keep eating, and then you get have the whole block, and you've eaten it. And it's...
He's so sweaty too. It's just sweaty cheese. That's what I smell coming out of your pores.
Like,
I know you're talking about. I find cheese to be the most erotic of aromas, so that really gets me in the mood. All right, Scorpion. This was a life you thought you'd left behind. But after all these years, they keep pulling you back in.
The way of the cheese.
You pick up this crowbar and you remember your training. Demoing houses. Just trying to make ends meet.
For all this fucking you are. PTSD check.
I don't know why you're talking
your
like it's... Yeah, I don't
right
know why you're
training
in
construction
game
is like being hung by a stud.
Right, I have a like honest job. This is a good thing.
But yeah, I know. Given some time, you grab this crowbar and you get to work. And this, I think the thing that you notice is, to reiterate, the construction of this house is... This house is very well built, and it's held up and stood up to the test of time. You've had more difficult time than you might think clearing off this wall. But after a bit of time spent chipping away at it with this crowbar, you reveal, as you take a couple steps back, shine your light... This large vault door. It looks imposing. You have no way of knowing if you can get through it or even where to start because there's no handle on this thing. It's just solid metal.
I could pick some locks, but I don't know how the fuck I'm gonna get through this.
What do you think about taking out the wall right next to that door? You think it's a whole vault?
No fucking idea. Why have a door this big if you don't have a vault behind it?
Fair question. Probably find out, shouldn't we?
Right.
Dan will pull his rifle. Sorry, Dan will pull his rifle up. Maybe we'll grab some cover, Scorp.
Put your mask back on. This is fun.
Maybe we'll grab some cover, Scorp.
All right.
Scorpion,
now, real quick, I know Dan has to shoot 3 shots because of the continuity he set up, but there, from my locksmithing experience, I don't, like, this looks like it's, like, sealed, like.
Give me a locksmith check.
This fucking door was just open the whole time.
Yeah. You just had to pull on it.
I don't
know. It's a push, not a pull, actually.
I don't know why I roll so good in this game. 7 under 40.
Very nice. So, you can see without any doubt in your mind, there's nothing on this door that even resembles a lock or an opening mechanism. Nothing that you can leverage. Nothing that you can exploit. Fuck. And that definitely shifts your mind elsewhere. There has to be another mechanism in this room that opens this thing. The answer isn't on the door itself. It's somewhere in this room.
There's some other way to get in there. We don't have the time or the equipment to drill or blow our way through.
And I think, Scorp, you put your hands up to your ears as Dan raises his rifle.
But you do have to shoot 3 times. For continuity's sake.
Right.
Damn right I do.
The plot says so.
And I think maybe, like, they're not trying to be dumb about this. I think maybe, like, Scorp turns and, like, yells out to the rest of the crew, but you guys are just lost in your own conversation, so you don't quite hear it. But then outside...
Nah, fuck them. They'll figure it out.
Outside, you guys have heard those 3 shots ring out, one after the other. Bang, bang, bang. And you're hustling back into the mansion.
As I pass my shotgun, I'm grabbing that thing.
Okay.
Smart.
Right after the shots and Freddy takes off, Ronnie races up next to him and she just kind of says, "Sometimes I feel like I'm trying to wrangle a caboodle of fence wreckers with those two."
Damn it.
and then without missing a beat...
Dig.
Without missing a beat, we gotta figure out what's going on because it's gonna be darker than a cow soon. Darker than inside the cow.
Yeah, inside the cow.
You didn't even say it right.
Yeah, well, I think your misplaced Montana accent kind of pokes through a little bit there.
Yeah. Yeah, so if I could, I'm grabbing that shotgun and I'm sprinting up the stairs. And as I'm sprinting up the stairs, I'm gonna call out our calls. We're doing the callback thing. So I'm gonna be screaming, "Flash! Flash! God damn it!"
Wasn't it thunder?
I say flash, they say thunder.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah,
Flunder.
Yeah.
Flunder.
Flunder.
Flunder. That's not him. Shoot him.
I was thinking it's thunder and lightning.
But yeah, I would have been started screaming flash and racking my shotgun as I'm sprinting up the stairs.
I mean, regardless of what the actual call sign that we actually came up with was, Dan, your military training, you instinctually call back the appropriate call sign, whatever that might be.
Nana.
Ronnie's like, "What does that mean? Does that mean he's in danger or it's good?"
So the lights from the interior of the room are illuminating everything. Are you guys just running straight in or are you stopping to make sure it's secure? Okay.
I would have stopped at the top of the stairs and taken cover, trying to identify where the shots are coming from. And as soon as I heard thunder and no distress... He wouldn't be, like, trying to aim his gun down the hallway or anything. He's just kind of poking around like, "What the hell's going on?"
Right.
He's going to hear Dan like, "Woohoo! Yeah, that'll get me in there." And, like, if you peek...
You're also going to hear Scorpion going, "God damn it!"
Yeah. Also, Dan's probably lost his mask in the excitement. If you peek into the room, Zane, can I tell them the first thing they'll see?
Yeah, that's fine.
Dan is, like... running for a full speed shoulder bash into the chunk of drywall that he just shot. He's like getting through this wall next to the vault door.
Right.
Or maybe crashing into the face of the vault if it exists behind the wall. I don't know. He doesn't know either, but he's that's
Dan,
what you
give
see.
Give me a strength times 5.
At the same time, you see Scorpion peeling his mask off, looking at Dan like, "Did you listen to a single thing I just told you?"
Nope.
46, under 65. Okay, yeah.
Very nice. As your shoulder collides with this section of lath and plaster, not drywall, let's be real, this house is old as shit.
Hell yeah.
A large chunk falls away, and you see 3 bullets, or 3 dents, rather, in a wall of solid metal.
Ah, shit. That ain't gonna get us there, Scorp.
Yeah, I know.
I should have listened to you. You were right. I apologize.
I look. Who was coming in first? The doctor?
I was the one coming up the stairs first. Yeah.
We're at the top of the stairs. We're not in.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I.
So I. Go ahead.
You can go first.
You're good. Go.
Ronnie just peeking her head past Freddy and seeing them both taking their masks off is just going to be like, "What the fuck are you doing? Get your masks on."
He's shooting.
The resignation.
You need your masks off. Why?
Oh, because he keeps shooting at that metal box, and I don't know, man. I'm pretty sure it's just going to ricochet and kill me anyway.
Well, then walk out.
Dan's mask is just a cigarette laying haphazardly behind him because his AR just knocked it, like his hollow sight knocked it off while he was like.
He took his off, and I was like, what's.
Yeah, his is the best example to follow.
I will take this opportunity, Scorpion. You take a couple big breaths of air since you've removed your mask, and
you die.
You don't feel any resistance, and just looking around the room, you could tell that Ronnie, you opening that window, creating a cross breeze, definitely seemed to have cleared out.
Yeah, the GM said something about the room being clear, so I figured it was okay.
Hey, you got all that fresh air in here, Ronnie. It's good now.
I don't know, man.
Y'all can move up if you want.
These things seem to be everywhere, even if you can't tell it.
Well, anyway, as I was saying, a soldier boy, there's a way to get into that chamber, I'm sure. There's no reason you'd have an entry here if you couldn't open it. There's no handle, no lock, and we can't get through that. We don't have the time or the steel.
Well, you said there might be another way to get in?
I don't know. Just a hunch.
I'm going to look at Ronnie and I'm going to say, and you said it's clear up there? No spores?
Feels good in here, dog.
You trust that, Freddy? They're not going to use those masks you put it on.
No, I don't trust anything. We're all in.
I taped that one. It works now.
Masks don't work.
I like talking with my hands over my mouth. I will put mine on again, but yeah. I took it off for the audio quality of the podcast.
Hold on. I'll just be like, 1 second. And I'm going to edge up and kind of start working my way down the hallway. Am I seeing any particles in the air? Am I feeling anything while I breathe?
No, you don't feel anything immediately, and visually, it looks like the air is pretty clear. I almost want to say, what would be a good role for this?
Biology.
I don't know.
I'm leaning towards biology, but I don't know if that's like.
I think
if that would work.
I'll do biology.
A biologist would know what to look for more than anybody else.
Yeah, for like organic compounds in the air, maybe.
But like,
got a 49 under 50.
Could you really even tell without doing tests?
Hell yeah.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering how much that skill relies. Like,
I mean, it might just give you an educated guess.
Yeah,
that's where I'm kind of approaching it from, because I think that skill typically would be used more for like diagnosing and like maybe more of a clinical or a lab
testing
setting.
But sure,
this is maybe, like, I think this is applicable here as well.
Well,
yeah,
maybe
that's
maybe
a good way
yeah
to look at it.
Yeah.
No, I like that role. We'll stick with that for sure. Dr. Greenwood, as you cross the threshold of this door, and you're being very cautious, trying to make sure that there's no particular irritants or threats or any organic substances present in the air, you feel like you can take a good breath without feeling like anything's off. The room smells very musty, but impression that there's anything here. You don't get the impression that there's anything here immediately threatening. You just probably don't want to stay in this room for any longer than you have to.
I'll look back and I'll say, Ronnie, Maya, come help us search. The less exposure we have to this room, the better, but I think it's clear if we're only in here for a few minutes.
And more so, you think you could probably be here for, like, you know, upwards of a couple hours
sure
without getting too much. It's not like that pressing.
Yeah, sure. I still stand by what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got an idea, y'all. If I'm understanding you right, Scorp, you're saying something else somewhere else in this room opens this door, right?
Educated guess, man. I don't know.
Well, if it was me, I'd probably put something like that in the desk. If we lift it up and somebody looks under there, we see if there's a wire running to it, would that help?
Anybody know anything about wire and stuff?
When does the rest of you enter this room too and kind of get a look around, and after Dan references the desk, you do see a copious amount of random pieces of paperwork and documentation surrounding this desk. This looks like this is where whoever operated out of this study kept most of their work.
Okay. Let's tear this place apart, guys. The faster we find what we're looking for, the better.
As Ronnie walks in, she's gonna... Dan, is your mask just knocked off kilter, or is it on the ground?
No, I think it got knocked all the way off when he was firing his AR.
Ronnie's gonna walk up and pick it up and go over to Freddy and just say, please, it'd make me feel better.
He'll cock an eyebrow at you and say, what, you don't trust me to get a cure?
I want you to stay alive to get that cure.
I think we're going to be fine. We need to look. And I need to look with my eyes, not in a mask, for us to get the hell out of here. We could be in here for a couple hours, and I don't think we'd be infected. Trust me, I took biological pathology.
And
Dr. Greenwood, in your bag, too, you'd also have a handful of, N95
I have an
masks.
M95 on. I've had one on the whole time we've been in this house.
Okay.
I forgot we came in, seven episodes ago.
I've been stating, every time we enter this damn house, I have one on.
Pants off, though.
Pants off. No pants. Absolutely no pants. You need to have freedom of movement.
You encourage the fungus to go somewhere besides your mouth.
Guide it basic gently towards another orifice.
I see that Ronnie's mad, and I put my mask back on.
Ron.
All right,
I got caught up.
Why don't you all give me, a search and let me know what you're looking for.
Okay, but Ronnie's gonna say something in response still. She'll kind of, sigh and be like, of course I trust you, but you're the one that told me it's the mushrooms. And if it's the mushrooms, that's what I'm sensing. They're everywhere.
Yes, they are. Fungus likes to grow everywhere.
On that note, too, as you guys begin your search, you all pull out your various flashlights and illuminate the room around you. And you do see lots of evidence that supports Ronnie's suspicions. This room, every nook and every cranny, is covered by these small blue mushrooms. And these look different than the ones that you've seen before. The one you saw out on the driveway looked more like a typical mushroom you'd find growing in a field, but these look more sinister, more malicious. They have less of a typical pattern they follow, and they more spiderweb out in whatever direction that they feel that they can, reaching out and grasping for whatever surface they can grow on. So,
I'm making my search roll.
Do you still want
to take
it?
As you guys are searching,
are you being very insistent with this mask?
I mean, she's really, if you were reading her, she's really trying to get you to put it on.
You might catch Dan out of, the corner of your ear. The doc, you a VIP today. You better get used to the idea.
You'll match me.
I'll put the mask on, and you'll just hear, okay.
Thank you.
Now you gotta do this thing with your hands.
Oh.
Every time, by the way.
I was born in the darkness.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll make my search roll now. I'm searching for a lever or button.
Okay. Ronnie, that looked good.
Ronnie got a 2.
Nice.
Nice. Ooh. Can I toss a wrench in this?
At Ronnie's head, yeah.
I kind of want to look for anything. This seems a little bit out of left field, but I kind of want to look for anything of the, occult nature or any sort of, things that would spike my, like, look for any, like, scribblings of a madman or anything like that. Could I potentially roll a cult to try to, and if there's nothing here and I succeed and you're like, there's nothing, that's fine.
What is your occultism score?
50.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, that's totally fine.
That's a really good score.
Yeah, that is really good.
Scorpion went through some stuff.
Yes, I am Scorpion. I have a cult.
Read a lot of weird books.
Okay, everybody's roll. Scorp, you're doing an occultism, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
Dan, Doc, and Maya, give me a whatever roll you want for some type of searching, and let me know what you're looking for.
I told you it was a lever or a button, and I got a 47 under 60.
Very nice. Maya, what are you looking for? What are you rolling?
I think I'm going to gear toward bureaucracy, like for the paperwork and stuff. But it's kind of hard though, because I kind of want to like learn more about these mushrooms, because these mushrooms are becoming very important, and I want to know if there's anything here for that, like more specifically, but I don't want to miss out on anything else that's like in the documentation.
Okay.
Basically, she's looking for paperwork.
Yeah, Maya, give me a bureaucracy and give me a psychotherapy check.
Okay. My bureaucracy is 40. So the thing is, I dug through my dice bag and I picked out like a bunch of sets, and so now I have to pick one. So now I have
That's fine.
Like a bunch of sets on the edge of my dice.
Well, we can start.
So I don't know which one to pick.
Crit failing our way through all of those.
Okay, bitch collar. Let's see.
Blue. No, green.
Okay.
Yeah, green.
Green
for the Delta.
Just saying, green. Zane. I'm not a fan of the way you phrased that.
Which one?
What?
She's gonna crit fail through everything.
That was the joke.
I know. I'm just.
I got a 36 under 40.
Nice. For which one?
Nice.
For bureau.
Yeah, bureau.
I never know how to spell that fucking word.
B-U-R-E-A-U-C-R-A-C-Y.
I don't want to know.
Yeah. It's I tried to spell it for you, and the first letter I said was Bew.
Yeah, you know, Bew. It's right next to Doolittle.
Oh, it's super easy. It's Bureaucracy.
It's okay. Bureaucracy.
Bew.
Dan, what are you up to?
Wait, what about
Dan?
Mine?
We'll get there.
Okay.
Dan is walking up to that desk as he proposed and trying to lift it. And I assume as he has rolled, actually, should I be rolling a strength times 5 to lift the desk, or should I be rolling a search? Because that was what you called for.
Go ahead and give me a strength. Okay. I like that. You can give me, go ahead and give me a strength and a search.
Okay. Well, then technically I should fail the search because I rolled a 64. If I was trading it for a strength times 5, it would have passed because that would be a 64.
I mean,
but
it's on you to be honest and tell me which roll you did first.
I did the search.
Okay. I appreciate your honesty.
Yes, of course. If you hadn't asked for both. Okay. And luckily the strength, though, is a pass at 58 under 65.
Nice.
See, that that would have been a pass if I had swapped it for a straight strength, but...
Again, I appreciate your honesty.
Yes.
Scorpion, what are you doing?
I got a 49 under 50 for
good
my...
Good God, you guys. Just coming in under the radar.
Hell yeah, we are.
Man, that was really lucky.
Okay. And Dr. Greenwood, you were looking for a lever of some sort, or
a lever,
button,
or
a switch,
button, or a switch.
What's a lever?
Okay.
Hardly know her. You fucking...
This is what you have rocked, Tanner. Sow the seeds of your suffering and reap the benefits.
I feel like that one fits better with the lever. You brought her.
You brought her.
That's a good one.
Okay, really quick, Ronnie, what were you looking for?
I think Ronnie, not knowing, like, the best way to search, is probably going to listen to Dan and start using her strength to push stuff around.
Okay, Are you pushing shit around, or are you specifically going to help him with the desk?
He's got the desk, and she's not really wanting to talk to him right now, so she's probably moving any, like, bookshelves or anything else that...
Okay.
Like, or moving that painting, or looking behind it.
We're legitimately tearing this room.
Just kind of...
Yeah, no, gotcha.
Things.
I may have an idea for how to play out exactly the failure and success I just got.
Oh, no, I do too, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
Let's see if this is good music. Okay. Ronnie, you start by poking and prodding the structural integrity of anything else in the room. Where there's one hidden thing, there's probably more. And you're peeking through all these bookshelves, pushing where you can, trying to see if there's any give. And after a while, you can say pretty determinately that if there's any large concealed things in this room, they're probably behind that door. But I think that's going to roll over. You see Dan approach this desk, and he goes and he grabs under the edge of it. And as he's lifting and struggling against the weight of this thing, you look and you see, and you're like, okay, like, come on, Dan, I can handle this, like, you know, no problem. And he's a tough dude too. You don't understand why he can't lift this desk. So you go over, like, maybe roll up your sleeves a little bit, grab the other end of this desk and give it a big heave. But as you do, this thing doesn't budge, which leads you both to believe, interesting, this desk is sturdy. It's obviously made out of really dense wood, but it also must be bolted to the floor or secured somehow, because between the both of you, you should be able to at least move it slightly. And I think while this is going on, too, Maya, you're checking all these documents around the room, and you can see that there's a lot of stuff obviously related to the Strickland Fishing Company. And you know that from your time on the island, that obviously the people that lived here were the proprietors of that business. But what you pick up as you dig deeper is that you're definitely looking in the right place being in this study, because there are, in your experience with numbers, with accounting, and with just the general sense of how things work within a business, there's lots of stuff that doesn't add up here. Transactions that come out of nowhere and disappear somewhere else, shipments that make no sense for quantities of items that, in your opinion, look like they were maybe put in place to cover up something else.
So out of that, I found sketchy cooked books. Like, that's what I...
This business definitely is starting to show that whenever you pull at a thread, it unravels fairly quickly. This business to you seems like maybe something that was set up to cover something else up. Maybe as a front. You're not really sure yet.
And this is for...
But I think...
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. You have a question? That's fine.
These documents are regarding the cannery, or...
The whole fishing company as a whole, which the cannery is a part of.
Okay, so...
But specifically, you are seeing shipments and ledgers of business dealings within the cannery that themselves don't really make sense. The cannery looks like it was taking shipments of quantities of chemicals and certain things that, in the quantities that they arrived in, don't really add up with what they were doing there, at least from what you can tell, because you're probably not an expert in, you know, fishing,
it's like
cannery
still,
operations, but something, there's red flags and something's not right here. And I think, Scorpion, you're looking for signs of occultism, you know, ravings of a madman, somebody touched by forces unknown that maybe pushed them over the edge. And I think at some point you fall in with Maya and you guys are comparing notes. Maya, why don't you go ahead and give me that psychotherapy role we talked about?
Damn it.
What'd you get?
It was super good. No, it wasn't. It was 81.
Okay. Maya, I think there's something under the surface here that you just can't quite put your finger on. But Scorpion, I think as you guys are comparing notes, you do sort of get the impression that whoever the man that was behind all of this, all of these business records, presumably Elias, this is definitely seems like it's his study at this point. Wherever you think that you can follow a thread of logic that would lead you to something, it gets cut short, as if through every dealing and every piece of information he left behind, he made steps to obscure at any given point. This is a man, and this kind of goes, this sort of tracks with your impression that you've sort of been building up in your brain castle, Maya. This profile you've been constructing on this man, this is obviously a very paranoid and strict individual. You can tell from every aspect of how this place was built. Its security, the bars on the windows, the way that he drafted documents, the way that he accounted for every little detail to make sure that nothing that he was doing could be followed. And among these documents, you also find things written potentially by somebody else, where handwriting might differ slightly, and you start uncovering this trail of notes that is scattered throughout this office that looks like, if you had to piece it together, was somebody else that was investigating aspects of this business. And I think, Maya, with your success in your bureaucracy, I think you can put the pieces of the puzzle together enough to ascertain that it looks like his son was trying to, at one point, maybe understand the family business more, and had been going through these documents and was trying to put together a clear picture of what exactly was going on behind the curtain. And the more you dig, the more you find references to points of frustration on his part, and ultimately, it looks like James was pursuing what he claims to be a dark seed at the heart of his family's legacy. And this does nothing but pique your interest more. It doesn't necessarily clarify much, but I think it does paint that picture in your head that this was a paranoid man, and he was doing whatever he can to protect the inner workings of this business, even against his own family. Dr. Greenwood, you're just looking for a way to open this door. You see Dan and Ronnie wrestling with this old oaken desk, unable to move it.
Dan's probably even got a crowbar like busted under the corner of it and is like prying oak away, but the desk won't lift up.
So you guys kind of combining your efforts around this desk.
If you're looking for an answer, the answer is probably yes.
Okay, just making sure.
No, I'm going to do it myself.
Like, move it back. So I you got guys... this.
Hold right. on. I got it.
Freddy's here. It's all right, guys. Yeah, it's all right, guys. Watch this.
You guys start going over this desk, checking all the corners, checking the drawers. A couple of them are locked, but I don't think it takes much work with that crowbar to pop the lock open, but you just find more documents, which maybe handed over to Scorpion and Maya, kind of reinforce their findings. But you do notice, looking down underneath the desk in the back left corner, the leg seems a little bit bulkier on the inside. And as you get a flashlight down there and peek up behind one of the drawers, you do notice embedded in the side of that leg is a small lever.
I'm gonna throw the lever.
And you guys really crushed all your rolls, so
I'm gonna throw the lever.
You're gonna just throw it. And you're just gonna go for it.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Dan's gonna keep poking the top of the desk with the crowbar.
Wait! Everyone's gonna think they did it. Ronnie will put a hand out before you do, and just be like, "We don't know what's behind that door. We should get anyone else out of the room, especially people without a mask."
Right. Take a long range cover on us, Dan, if you don't mind.
Dan is going to take a deep breath and defiantly look at you while he takes cover toward the back of the room, but not outside of it.
And I got a mask.
Hold his breath.
I'll take point.
I got a mask.
Ronnie, you, Maya, take this documentation and at least get into the hallway.
Ronnie will kind of gesture towards Maya to go out with her and just kind of like, of course Stan's got to do his own thing and walk out.
Right. So Maya, you probably both grab a big armload of this documentation, maybe sort it into a folder.
Yeah, maybe tuck it into the jacket, like one of those inside pockets or something.
Okay.
Sorry, I wasn't doing the mask thing.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you're welcome. Okay.
Really helps my immersion. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, cool. It's going to make this podcast sound cool. Great.
It is, right? I want to throw this lever. Medium. We better have subtitles for this. I'm going to throw this lever. Are you guys ready?
For the audio podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Just go with it.
I have to download it in a PDF format and follow along.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm going to take point at the metal door, just to be clear. When it opens, I'm going to fucking peek in with my shotgun out.
I'm going to look at Dan. I know that Scorpion's right. I'm going to look over to Dan and give him a thumbs up.
Dan is going to give you the thumbs up.
Okay, GM, Dan?
GM, will you allow me to take the aim action now while we're on our free time still?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Brace yourself on a piece of furniture or something.
Yeah, I'm talking in cover and peeking through, like, yeah.
Okay. One, two, three.
Three, go. Wait, hold on. Are we going on 1, 2, 3 or 1, 2, 3, go?
You guys, the door starts pee. Opening.
I gotta pee. I'll be right back.
Oh, no.
Pee out. Is it date name episode or like, how are we naming this thing?
I'll throw the lever.
Okay. Danny, brace yourself on a piece of furniture, aiming down the top of your rifle towards this large metal door. Scorpion, you secure this gas mask on your face, ready for whatever's waiting for you. Dr. Greenwood, you've taken a knee and you have your hand firmly on that lever, ready to engage whatever mechanism presumably opens this door. You give it a firm pull. We'll see what's on the other side of the door next time.
You whore.
On Delta. Whore Green.
You absolute whore.
You gutter slut.
Hey, we don't slut shame on the Reroll podcast.
I'm
We're
not
all
slut
sluts
shame.
Here.
I'm just
Unless
saying,
you want to be slut shamed and that's like your thing, then like right. By all means, we will slut shame the right. Shit out of you, you filthy whore.
Yeah.
Right.
Goddamn
right. We only slut shame want, with though. Consent.
Yeah.
If this is your thing, you're a fucking gutter slut. And if it's not,
if it's not, thank it's you for listening that to the podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Reroll Gaming Podcast. This actual play, Whispers of Lunabelle Island, is published by arrangement with the Delta Green Partnership. The intellectual property known as Delta Green is a trademark and copyright owned by the Delta Green Partnership, who has licensed its use here. The contents of this document are copyright Zane Gehring, excepting those elements that are components of the Delta Green intellectual property. Want to follow us on social media, listen to another episode, or send us hate mail? Check out our link tree for all our info. You can find that link in the episode description. Big thanks to Tabletop Audio for producing quality RPG music and ambiance that we can use in our games. The Reroll main theme and all character themes are copyright Zane Gehring. The Chronicles of Rel theme and the Frequency theme our copyright Tanner Prentice. Please consider donating to our Patreon if you liked our content. We are hell-bent on making more, and with your support, we can make a lot more. New episodes of Whispers of Lunabelle Island release every Friday at 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. See you then.